This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Alright, are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KQBAR. Alright, I'm just knocking stuff on the floor here, making a mess of this place. Alrighty, pretty good. That's the right answer to that question. Well, everybody, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is run weekly on a frequency of 146.955 MHz. It is the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL is 141.3. That's 141.3. You also can access the net via the K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L Echo Link. And we hope that you'll do that if you have, shall we say, marginal access over the radio. We will have a check-in time for people accessing the net via Echo Link, so if you hear call sign groups brought up, you need not panic. We will get to you on Echo Link separate from the call sign groups. So, this net is a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, electronics, computers, the natural phenomena and science underlying all the fun stuff we do. It's about what we do. It's about how we do it. It's about our experiences, both good and bad. It's about what we've liked, to what we've done, and what we've not done, our aspirations, things that we hope to do better in the future, and so on, basically. It's even about how we volunteer with it. It's everything. It's everything you can imagine, as long as it touches on the amateur radio topic in a broad sense. So with that thought in mind, let's get down to signing in. We sign in a little differently than most other nets. We sign in by call sign group, and that is done by with your name, your call sign, your name, and then you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, a for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. All are welcome. But you might ask, why would you want to check in if you don't have a question, a comment, or something for sale or swap? Well, the reason is very, very simple. We love to know who's participating, who's got ears on the net, so that we can kind of tailor the net to your listening pleasure. Can't do that if we don't know you're not, if we don't know you're there. So it's really important to let us know that you're there. Okay, with no further ado, let's get on with the matter at hand. Stations whose call sign begin with whiskey, please call KQBAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale or swap item, or none of the above. Please call KQBAR.
This is W2JEK with a comment.
W2NPR, Hector, no comments or questions at this time.
Don and Hector, I got you. Anybody other whiskeys?
River, New York, no questions or comments at this millisecond.
Let's try to do this one call at a time, because otherwise it gets to be a little too much. So I have W2JEK, W2NPR, WA2UMP. Only Don has a comment. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy with a question.
Okay. I got you, Charlie, and I got Randy with his question. Good. Any other whiskeys?
WI2LYP Mobile, just lurking.
Okay. Good to hear you, Bill. Any other whiskeys?
W2APP, Paul, none of the above.
Evening, Paul. Very good. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, just listening.
Okay, Rick. Rick, I have something for you, and that's the that one stuck unit. I'm going to try to bring it to Fairlawn tomorrow and see if we can unstick it. So one that's got the 169 address that I just can't figure out. Anyway, I'll bring that in one or two other quickie notes, just something small. I'm not going to bring anything heavy. Just FYI on that point. Any other whiskeys? Okay, let's go to the Novembers.
N2OEL, no question.
Good evening, Noel. I sense you're on echo link. We'll get to that in a minute, but all right, any other Novembers?
Get N2OEL, no questions, get through.
Yeah, Noel, I got you. No problem. You're in. Any other Novembers?
N2NBR, no questions or comments.
NBR, your name?
John.
Very good, John. It's always good to announce your names for everybody can hear it. Okay, very good. Any other Novembers? Okay, Kilo 2.
K2BAR. This is K2ZO. I have one comment. And back to that.
Very good, James. Thank you very much. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2ZC, Dave. No questions, no comment.
Okay, very good, Dave. Any other Kilo 2s?
Tony, K2AMI. No questions, no comments.
Tony, very good. Any other Nova K2s?
KZ2, yes, this is Paul. No questions, no comments.
I think I got a station Paul, but it was a K something. Go ahead, any Kilo, that's Kilo station again.
KZ2, EFJ.
KZ2, EFJ, welcome aboard. And you said your name is Paul?
That is correct.
Welcome to Ham Radio, Paul, and welcome to the net. That's great. Alrighty. Any other Kilos?
KC2ZFM, Bob, with none of the above.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much. Any other Kilos?
KD2DDK, Gary, nothing.
Good evening, Gary, very good. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India Golf. Don, just listening.
Evening, Donald. Okay, very good. Any other Kilos? Alpha stations? Any stations with Alpha?
AC2GI, Rich, one question.
AC2GI, Rich, with a question. Very good. Hi, Rich. Gotcha. Any other Alphas? Okay, any other call signs other than on Echo Link?
K2BAR, W2CH, Ray, none of the above.
Good evening, Ray. How about your bride?
Well, I'll check her in. She's not right here at the moment. That's Marilyn, KC2NKU.
Wow. Not there. Okay, very good. No problem. Any other stations wishing to check into the net?
W2NIW.
Okay, Matt, what's your pleasure?
Nothing tonight, Gordon. Good evening. Good evening to everyone. Just listening tonight. Actually, just walked in the door. Was rushing to get here.
That's a common problem tonight. You see, I jumped out the door to go to the grocery store at 10 after 8, and we walked in at 3 minutes of 9, so it all worked out. No problem, no rush. All right, any other stations wishing to check into the net? Okay, how about any other stations on Echolink other than Noel, who I already have? Let's get to the matter at hand here. And that, by the way, that's 22 of us. That's pretty good. All right. Don, W2JEK, your comments, sir, K2AR.
Okay,
W2BAR and the net W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Just announcing that tomorrow night, Barr will be running a VE test session at the Westwood Regional High School. That's tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 p.m., classroom number 123. And if you're coming, your test fee is $15. You'll need an ID, that's a photo ID, like a driver's license or a passport, or 2 hours of non-photo ID. You have a calculator, it has to be a calculator. It cannot be a cell phone or an iPod or some other device. The memories on that calculator have to be cleared out. And I think that's about it. Got your money? Got your... Oh, yeah, if you have your... Oh, need your... If you are licensed, I want us to... We have to bring you a current license. And if you have a CSCE, bring that. I don't think too many people use that much anymore. But the if you have a license, I'd also like to have a photocopy of that for our records, because I will keep you, you'll let you keep your original. I think that does it. Back to that, W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Very exciting that you got this test session tomorrow night. Heard a couple of people say they were targeting for it, studying away, and that's good stuff. Does anybody have any questions or comments or not regarding the upcoming test session, testing in general, licensing in general, etc.? All right, Don, any finals from you on this one?
I think that about covers it, Gordon. Thank you. Back to net, W2JK.
Just a reminder that Boy Scout Troop 139 and Venture Crew 7373 in Bergenfield will be running a one-day class on the last Friday of December, a review class with a technician, and Don and his Merry Band will be gracious enough to run a test session for us that evening on the last Friday in December in Bergenfield. The course is all day and the testing is at 7. And hope you come, and of course, on the second Saturday of December, we have a flea market. It's also a holiday-type flea market, so it's got ham radio and others, so bring your YLs and other family members. And just while I'm on a roll for that, the fail-on auction is the Friday after Thanksgiving at the Senior Citizen Center, not the Community Center, but the Senior Citizen Center. If anyone needs more detail on that, you can ask later or even ask now if you'd like. Okay, very good. There will be tech sessions. In fact, I'm even looking for more tech sessions for the HamFest in Bergenfield. If anyone would like to do that, that'd be good. I think a mesh tech session is kind of a given, and I'm wondering if we should do something else, too. We could discuss that. Alrighty. With no further ado, just before we go into our first question, which is Randy's, just want to see if we have any other check-ins for the net, K2B Air. Alright, W2S, it's your ball, Randy, K2B AR.
Thanks, Gordon, and good evening to everyone on the net. So, as I'm upgrading my shack here and doing a variety of experiments, I suspected that I've got a bunch of radio frequency interference from a variety of sources, and I'm trying to track them down. And one of them that I noticed right away, and is really visible on an oscilloscope placed near it, is a fluorescent light fixture right above one of my workbenches. And so I wondered if anybody knows if this can be remedied in some manner, or is the fixture itself a total loss, and I have to do I need to disconnect it and just toss it? So that's my question to the net this evening, Gordon. W2S back to K2BAR.
Well, there have been some people who've done some work to clean up the ballast, and there's a number of online sources about that. if you Google fluorescent light ballast noise or fluorescent light noise or RFI, you will find a number of things. I've seen chokes put on the leads and things like that. I don't know what kind of chokes, but I'm wondering maybe, just maybe, if K2ZO or anybody else has any experience. Let's start with Jim. Jim, any thoughts on that?
Okay. Here you are. This is K2ZO. Well, I don't know. Some of the older ones, okay, can benefit from a bypass with a capacitor. Make sure you get a capacitor that's like about a 0.01. And make sure it's the high enough voltage. Remember, you got the RMS voltage there on AC. So you got to try that. One of the articles that I had read, if you remember, some of the older ballasts have starters. The newer ones don't. So one trick, of course, is if it's a unit that you really want, you can upgrade it with a new ballast, and you just go pick your old ballast, or you look at what it's designed for, what length light, and go to an electrical supply place and see if you can buy the newest style ballast. I know that one of the things you can do is to replace it, and the new ballast doesn't require a starter, and they're very quiet. But that's going to be a little bit more expensive. I would try to bypass it first, and maybe even a couple of chokes, and because it's usually radiating from the power line. So if you can stop it there, you might be able to get rid of it. Back to that, K2ZO.
Okay, well, if you need a quantity of fairly high voltage 0.01s, Randy, and high quality ones, I have some that a friend of mine down in Monmouth County gave to me, a literal bag full. And I say a bag, I mean a bag that if I dropped it on your foot, you better be at least wearing shoes, if not boots, sneakers or anything less would hurt your foot. So I can spot you one of the two bags I have, or as much of it as you would like. In fact, maybe I'll just bring them down to Fairlawn tomorrow and make them go away in that regard. Over.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that would certainly be a help. So I was thinking that they're probably caps rated for, what, 300 volts or more. And Jim, I would install this the bypass cap by putting it across the hot and the neutral somewhere in the fixture. Is that correct?
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, then you go from one of the sides to ground. If you want higher voltage than that, typically those are used in that service are like 1,000 volts.
I think mine might be 600 at the most.
Okay, well, that's a help then. Thank you.
It'll work 110.
So you're saying that we should use them or not?
I use them for 110. They're okay. But there was an article I have around here somewhere where it talks about what happens to those things after a while, and that they do fail, and sometimes they cause fires. So you got to make sure you got a high enough voltage, you know.
Okay. Let me ask this question, Randy. The quality of the light over a workbench from a fluorescent fixture, is that really what you want going forward? Just a question. I mean, you really want to go through all this rigmarole? I mean, I know you don't want to spend the money on replacing the fixture. You don't have to. I get that. But given that it's an RFI nightmare, would this not be an opportunity as opposed to a problem to upgrade the light quality?
Oh, yeah, there's... There's always lots of opportunities, as we used to say in the corporate world. They're not problems, right? This particular workbench is it's not very old. It's only it's only say about 4 years old. It's actually a Sears steel workbench, and it's all came with this fluorescent fixture that you install. So it's not a tremendously old thing, and it is real convenient to have the fluorescent fixture over that particular bench at the height that it is shining down on everything there. So yeah, I kind of like to keep the thing there and just get rid of the RFI and trying a bypass cap would certainly be a thing to try. And I do have some chokes that I can put on the power line as well and see if those are necessary as well.
Okay. Sounds good. I've just grown... I'm sorry, just unkeyed. I've grown accustomed to much warmer light. And to the point where even my LED flashlights are annoying to me, unless they have, a more, warm, light wavelength. So anyway, anybody else have any thoughts for Randy on this monumentally complex point?
Check in K2VIR.
Howie, how are you? And what's your pleasure tonight? Will you be issuing questions or comments or both, or for sale or swaps or whatever else?
A comment and a question. I've replaced a lot of stuff here with LEDs, and I'm very happy with them. I also bought some cheap fixtures at Staples for about $10 to $12. They have one that clips onto your desk. They have another that sits on a stand, and I would imagine for that money you might want to just try it. K2EIR.
W2PDQ.
Okay, W2PDQ Rich, welcome aboard. All right, real quick, Howie, was that your comment, or do you have a question and a comment for later as well?
That's my comment. I have a question for later.
Okay, very good. Rich, what's your pleasure for tonight? Questions, comments, for sale or swap, all the above, none of the above?
Oh, Gordon, I just have a little comment. I'm just sitting here at a new desk, and I put in a little new LED light for my watchmaking purposes. And I got this little soft tech that has a color temperature differential, and it goes from a nice warm, I think about 3,500 Kelvin to about 5,400 Kelvin. And I was just turned in and listening to somebody talk about the light. There's no RFI from this little puppy. So I was really pleased. And now let's go back.
Well, Randy, those are some good options. Anybody else have any thoughts for Randy? All right, Randy. So, do you have anything more you want to add to this?
Well, certainly, thank you for the helpful suggestions. I really appreciate that. It really shows the value of the net. To the gentleman who just mentioned the LED light, could you share with us the name of that light or model number or something, or where we might find that? Because that really sounds like an intriguing and potentially versatile solution.
Both Howie and Rich had that. Howie first.
Here with the net is Softech, SOFTECH, and the lamp model is EL9, I think it's a 5TH. But buy the one with the swivel head because it makes all the difference in the world.
Very good. And Howie, did you have something?
Negative, but I'd like a repeat. That interested me. Something that you can vary the color temperature like that. I'd like to hear it again.
Rich, it's a Softech Delta Lima 95 Tango Hotel. I get it with the swivel head?
That's correct, Gordon. It's got a couple of different LEDs. Some of them go a real nice warm loom, and it goes up to a high brightness, but the swivel tech gets the thing out of your eyes. It just doesn't go low enough, but on the medium brightness, it's pretty good. Thank you, Gordon.
Okay. Very good. Very, very nice. So, soft tech. I typed in swivel tech. That's funny. Oh, well. I'll take a look at that. Maybe I'll go on Amazon and buy one. Natural Light Smart LED Desk Lamp. Yeah, that looks like a... It actually looks pretty cool. Hey, Randy, this actually may be something... I mean, they're not cheap. They're $100 or $120. But on Amazon. But they look quite attractive. And just might be what you're looking for.
Yeah, again, thank you very much for the suggestion of that. I'm looking at the thing on Amazon right now, too, and I agree with you, Gordon. It looks like a real versatile and attractive little unit. So, again, thanks to the folks on the net for the suggested solutions to the thing, and I'll try a couple of these things and report back to you as I discover other sources of RF and let you know what I'm doing with them. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
You know, because of the obvious potential for, RFI from these things, maybe Rich should run some tests on them since he already has spent the money.
Gordon, W2PDQ. I'm just holding it against the scanner for a while, and there doesn't seem to be any RFI emitted from it. Back to that.
Hey, Randy, just for clarification, what frequencies are you noticing the RFI?
On the fixture that I was having the most problem with it, from the scope, it seemed to be strongest around 17 kilohertz.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Okay. Well, that's certainly an issue. One of the things I need to do in my shack here is I've been hollowing out a space for a scope to live. And I'm slowly getting to the point where it's actually going to happen. So I have a 4-channel 150 meg scope. And a spectrum analyzer in my future would be just lovely. I'm looking for recommendations on spectrum analyzers, by the way. But I'm also trying to see if I can convince my colleagues at work to upgrade the one they have and let me have the one they have currently. Grin, grin. Gotta flex 5,000 that way. Wow. Actually, not quite that, but almost. Anyway, anybody else have any questions about lighting issues in RFI?
Question
go.
K2VAR, AC2GI. Actually, in the world where incandescent bulbs are on the way out, I'm about to redo my kitchen, and I'm shopping around for under-cabinet lighting. And actually, my kitchen wall is the back side of my shack. And right now, I have one fluorescent fixture that generates noise. The other ones are fine and nice and quiet. So with the fact that the LED junctions are noisy and ballasts are noisy, where are we to go if we can't get incandescent lights? And what does anybody recommend for an under the kitchen cabinet type of lighting?
I can tell you what I've done with some of my other lighting. And they do have other lights in their product line, but I've not had a chance to sample the what are called the under cabinet versions. But Feet Electric, FEIT, has I think it's an 18 watt bulb that is an equivalent to a 90 watt bulb, and it's dimmable with standard dimmers, and has a really nice warm natural light. And I've seen some of the other Feet Electric
smaller ones, but not the, again, not the under cabinet ones, that again seem to be just lovely. NS2K introduced me to these, and ultimately I went out and bought, well, I bought four for the dining room, liked them so much that I bought a bunch more for the rest of the house, and I've cut my electrical bill radically, but also have improved my the quality of lighting, and I'm no longer, you know, indiscriminately destroying the dimmers that were not yet damaged by the CFLs, which, by the way, are just another form of fluorescent lights. I mean, they're just another annoyance too. So in my shack, I have LED PR. I think they're PR16 lights. They're LVLs. And they're not bad. They are dimmable. They're a little harsher than I would like, but we're getting there. Over time, I'm noticing that we're getting improved LED fixtures, and some of the ones I've replaced, I've been experimenting. I've got four in the ceiling here, and I've got different ones in different spots just to as part of the evaluation. But long term, I think that I've settled on the one that's in, I guess, now three of the fixtures, maybe two. And I got rid of the last one, and away we go. Is one that's just too sterile. It's kind of like the LED equivalent of a fluorescent bulb. It's just annoying. It's so, it's just too white, and it just bleaches out everything that's nice. I like that honey warmth kind of good bright lighting, but you know, more pleasant. So anyway, anybody else have any thoughts for Randy?
Another comment, K2EIR.
Go right ahead. Actually, at this point, we're making comments for Randy and Rich. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm more responding to you, Gordon. First off, I'd be very careful about using dimmers with anything if you want to avoid RFI. I think dimmers are one of the biggest sources of RFI next to switching supplies. That's comment number one. Comment number two, I've gone through a number of bulbs here. I'll just relate my experience as briefly as I can manage, which isn't too brief generally. But I bought some inexpensive imports. I think they were the equivalent of 45-watt incandescents from Hong Kong. Got a great buy on them, and they were very, very noisy. Finally had used them originally here in the condo and traced the noise to them and got rid of them, and I bought some Philips brand replacements with a little bit more wattage or equivalent wattage, and they're essentially noiseless. I mean, you probably have to be right on top of it with a radio to hear it. It doesn't seem to be traveling along the AC lines, which is, you know, like common mode or whatever, can be a problem. I know that Cree is now selling bulbs to Home Depot for very nice prices. I think a 60-watt equivalent, you know, it probably takes 9 watts or 7 watts, sells for about $10, $10.99. They have $10.99, $12.99, whatever, with a little bit more wattage. Let me let the 3 cents. And when I did go to Home Depot the second time for some more of these Cree bulbs, I found that they made two or three varieties with different temperatures. That is, some of them were considered daylight, and others were considered warm room, whatever. So, you know, that whole thing about temperature equivalent is important. If you know what you like and what you don't like, you have to look for it. It doesn't always have to be expensive, but my general observation with the good brands that are unlikely to cause interference, even though they have Part 15 labels, is that you've got to pay for that temperature differential. If you want anything other than those harsh, bright lights, which I happen to like in some settings, you're going to have to probably pay a little bit more. You're going to have to look very carefully. So those are my comments. Thank you. K2EIR.
Hey, you know, you're absolutely right. I've replaced all my outside lights with those Cree lights, and I accidentally bought the wrong one when I needed an additional one. So, yes, I can understand what you're saying. I have all the warm ones except in the front
and I didn't notice that I got a second one for the rear to go when, because I was buying them as my incandescents were dying, and pardon me, and they are absolutely wonderful. I've actually caused one to die, which is interesting. Not sure why, but it was in a fixture that was protected. I had another one that was out in the elements and actually got water in the bulb, and it still lit, which was kind of interesting. So I unscrewed it carefully and just let it sit with the water in the bottom of the bulb out in the sun for a couple of weeks, and the water dissipated. It was on a... it wasn't in a normal fixture. It was in one of those screw-in, plug-in kind of fixtures. So it had an Edison socket with standard two-pin outlet, or plug, I should say, on the back. And they had it on a distributed drop cord just to provide area lighting over the back part of my deck. And one of the fixtures was out in the elements, so I didn't quite realize it wasn't under cover. And it got that way, but it didn't fail, and it's still fine. But those Cree lights are very, very nice. As you say, 13 watts, and you definitely want the warm, light ones. I mean, unless you really like that harsh, bright stuff. My problem with the harsh, bright stuff is it you lose color, and it's also fatiguing. And if I'm in an office, my office or my shack a lot, I really don't want to have my eyes just tortured all day and night. Anybody else? All right, Rich, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, not at this time.
Okay, one other thing is GMK2ZO bought a bunch of 12-volt LED lights that come in like a 600 roll strip. And if you want to roll your own, that might be something to think about. And just put a 12-volt switch on it. And you literally could, tack it underneath your cabinets and you'd never see it. It really is nice. And you just cut off the number you want, put the wires on you need, and run it off essentially a wall wart if you wanted to. You could run lots of them off of a 1 amp for a wall wart, let me tell you. All right, very good. Randy, are you squared away?
Yes, everything's good here, and thanks to everybody on the net. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
It's just an observation about tomorrow night. I was thinking about offering to bring some of those bulbs down. I could bring my roll and cut you off some if you want to try some, Rich. Maybe Jim wants to chime in with some thoughts on the subject, but I could cut you off a couple of feet of those for if you wanted to do sampling. So they weren't that expensive for the roll, and you'd be more than welcome to have those. But the only thing about tomorrow is that I am expecting someone to come up from Staten Island to pick up my old green tubular tower. It's going away tomorrow. Someone had the need, and I had the device, and I'm not going to have a vehicle that's capable of safely using that probably for another few years. So I think. It's given me 20 years of good service. I think I'm going to get rid of it, and we'll readdress that with a new vehicle in a couple of years. In any case, so I don't know when he's going to arrive, but I will be at the meeting tomorrow night. I just have to coordinate what my comings and goings will be with respect to meeting him to get the tower out of my yard. Et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, that shouldn't be a problem. I should be down there. I'm going to try to get down there early, and that way square everything away. But I'll be squawking here on 442. And if you want, you can always text me on my cell phone if you are worried about rendezvous times and whether or not it's worth your trouble for this, that, and the other thing. All right, anybody else with any comments on this lighting subject before we move on?
Tony, K2AI.
Tony, go right ahead.
Just one point, you did mention that you could drive these LEDs with a wall wart.
Have you observed that some of the Woolworths today are little switcher supplies, they're no longer transformers? And has anybody experienced interference from those little switches from Woolworths?
I can say absolutely. In fact, I have, and several of us have, a pile of Linksys Woolworths of various types, the nice trim switchers and some of the old iron ones. And what I find is Linksys seem to be, in general, pretty quiet. However, that's not a universal truth when it comes to switching Woolworths, because I have other switching Woolworths that are just noisy as hell. And that's, you know, amazingly enough, in my shack, I use a couple of these MFJ, what is it, 4125, the one with the binding post in the front, so the clips in the back, and the two pair Anderson power poles on the front, but no meter. They have a meter version of this too, but I just use the small one for portability. And I've got three of these in my shack, or two, you know, well, two typically, but sometimes a third, in addition to an HP iron supply that gives me about 14 volts, and it's, you know, the iron supply obviously makes no noise, but I haven't had much trouble with these little MFJ supplies, but the Woolworths, yeah, they can be a bit of a variable feast. Anybody else want to comment on that? Hey, very good. Todd, do you want to go back? Eddie, you, anything from you?
I prefer the iron ones. And I stand clear of the Woolworths that are switches, just in general, but... that won't be forever. I'm sure they're going to go away. The iron ones will go away. Anyway, back to Ned.
Oh, I don't know. Unless you abuse them, you know, you'll be in pretty good shape. I have a nice, I guess it's a 70 amp iron supply, and I have one Anderson power pole cable coming off the back of it. To distribution, and then for miscellaneous other things, I have a second MFJ. They're called MFJ 4125Ps, by the way. They seem to be a fairly quiet switching supply. And what I've done with all my Linksys gear is just at like the 1 foot mark from the wall ward, I cut off the cable. And put in some power poles on both sides. That way, if I need to deploy a Linksys router for a mesh node standalone, I have an AC source that's tolerable for that. At the same time, I have a direct 12-volt source to run it on. That's all good, so it works out pretty well. The other thing I found that's useful is I have a couple of AC monitors, or probably DC monitors, that are by HP, that are fairly quiet, all things considered. You know, they're certainly not getting into my antenna systems and my radios. I will sometimes feed them from their cable wart or directly from a 12-volt iron supply. So that's another thing. I haven't done relative comparison of the cable wart versus the, you know, the iron supply, but I gotta say, the cable that since I've cut that cable open to put fanders and power poles on that as well, I was greatly impressed with the shielding on the, and also the other suppression mechanisms, chokes and the like, that were on the cable wart supply, for the monitor. Alrighty, anybody have any last questions on power supply noise? Ready, let's go to KQZO with his comment, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. I think I've got the good battery on here, but last time I charged the battery up and lasted about 2 minutes. Picked me up too because it was pretty new internet battery for my little Yaesu HD, which I'm using. Had to be good. It was made in China. What I've been doing, just want to let everybody know here, is using a nice little device here for building interfaces to radios to drive amplifiers. Let me let it drop a second. Okay, as you know, or may not know, a lot of us use some older amplifiers that have higher voltage and different voltage, in other words, negative instead of positive, like the Heathkit and the Collins. And some of the modern transceivers just don't like this. And if you have yourself a TL-922 like I do, which is a when redone with some nice mods, it's a great amp. This thing here will fry your solid-state switch in your new radio. It'll also fry your relay if you attempt to use it, because it's got 125 volts coming out of the back of it that you key. So, you know, Joe Ham buys a radio, hooks it up to his old Heathkit or whatever, which has about 110 volts coming out of it, and he fries his amp, his new transceiver. What I've discovered, I've been building little interfaces and using relays, which I don't use anymore because they're slow. But what I found out is a nice little gadget, and it's made by Fairchild, and it's called an HSR-412. And this thing will key 400 volts. It's only in a little 6-pin dip package, tiny little thing. It'll key 400 volts, and it has two FETs in there that are optically isolated, and you can use them in series or you can use them in parallel, depending on what you want to do. And in parallel, they'll key a half an amp. You can't kill this thing. What I do is I take the output of the radio, in my case, my Kenwood, which puts out plus 12 on transmit, and I bring it into the solid-state device through a 1,000-ohm resistor to isolate it and current limit it, and then I use it to switch. And the beauty of it is now you've got a switched output. You can switch either a positive or negative voltage if you want to. That's the problem with a lot of the transceivers that do have, for instance, some of the later new ICOMs do have a solid-state switch, but they won't switch a negative voltage. So you can't use it on a Collins or a Heathkit SB200. Anyway, these things are called HSR-412. If you want to see what they look like, they sell them on eBay, and you can buy two of them for only $6.90. When I wire them up, I just use the dead bug technique. I wire a little piece of cable over to a plug, and another piece of cable over to another plug. And when I get finished and test it, I just take a piece of epoxy putty, the two-part stuff, knead it up in my hand, and just cover this little thing up, and that's it. If it goes bad, I'll just cut it and throw it away. But I've never seen had one go bad yet. I've built a number of these interfaces. If you go on eBay and just type HSR-412, you'll see what they look like. They're very tiny, and they're isolated. You can isolate. They're good for 4,000 volts of isolation, although we don't need that here. And they work very well. They're extremely fast, and you can configure the two FETs in series so that you can switch AC with them if you want to. So, a very interesting device, very inexpensive, and you can easily make an interface for your nice new solid-state radio, so you don't have a problem with amplifier. Now, again, some people will never need these because they've got a new amplifier which has only got a few volts coming out of the back. But for some of us who have the older style, we definitely need something like this. Back to that, K2ZO.
Yeah, I think the key point here is to make sure you go get them off eBay, because when you look at them at Mouser and DigiKey, they're it's a whole other game. But yeah, those are neat. I'm just curious. That wasn't what you used on the 30L1 you sold me years ago. when I was idealistically thinking that I could actually use amplifiers in this location.
No, that interface was a much more expensive potted unit. That was an Opto 22, which worked quite well. However, they cost about $25 a piece. Occasionally you find them surplus for $2 or $3, but that was an industrial solid-state relay already potted, which worked very well, no problem. But this one here is a tiny little thing. It's the size of a, well, you know what an NE555 looks like, a little timer. It's in that same type package. And as I say, I don't put them on a board or anything like that. I just tack solder the wires to them and take a little piece of putty, the epoxy putty, and I pot it in a little ball on the cable. I use the RG174 as the cable in and out, and I've got a little epoxy ball that I build around it, and that's it. Back to that.
Yeah, I mean, these HSR-412s are really slick. They're a lot cheaper, as you were saying. And, yeah, with a little creativity, you can wire them for AC. But what's neat about them is they are 6-pin dip. So, you know, if you have an 8-pin socket or even an all 6-pin socket, you can even stack a couple of these in there if you need to. If you're trying to build something for controllers. Here's what I'm thinking about using them for, Jim, and I'm going to go check it out, is see if they'll switch with, let's say, 3 to 5 volts. If I can switch them with 3 to 5 volts, then I'm probably going to stick it, make it as a daughter board for a Raspberry Pi or for an Arduino controller, because this is just an unbelievably simple way to switch higher voltages and currents.
Yeah, well, if you look at that schematic and that thing, it shows you need an external resistor, so that way you choose whatever voltage you want. If you use it, you can switch it with a 1-volt battery. I've done that, and just put a 100-ohm resistor in series with it, and it'll work fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. How much current will they handle?
Each one of those FETs will handle 210 mils. So I parallel them up, so it's like a half an amp or so. And they're very conservatively rated. I've actually switched an amp with these things, but not, continuously. And they do work. So, I've never had one fail. And I've made now 5 or 6 different interfaces for people with Kenwoods, people with Collins, all different, all amplifiers that have higher voltage on the output there. And they work fine. But a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the modern radios, for example, my Kenwood, the relay in there, if you use the relay to switch the amp, is only good for like 24 volts. You'll weld it when you're trying to drive a heat kit. And then some of them have a solid-state collector switch, but that's rated only at 24 volts, so that way you have to watch it. So if you got an old radio with a big hunky, chunky relay in there, you don't have to worry, but most new radios, you just have to watch it if you've got one of the old amplifiers, like most of us do, that have rather high current or high voltage coming out the back relay connector there with, that makes the thing switch over. Back to that.
Hey, 2QBZ Mobile.
Mr. Joel, go right ahead.
I know you have a net on here. I'm sorry. I'm just driving along.
You know, Thursday night, 9 o'clock, we have a tech net. And you, sir, would be a wonderful asset for this net. So maybe you should put it in your calendar. We'd love to have you. Anyway, Joel is, among other things, a DXer and a tower maven and a bon vivant for travel or for world travel. Did I pretty much capture that well, no, Joel?
And you left out handsome.
Oh, well, from my viewpoint, you're butt ugly, but that's just my own opinion. But anyway, and I'm sure the feeling's mutual.
Hey, you don't have to thank me. Is that Jim in there?
Yes.
Just listening to you with the relay stuff. I have old and new amps, so just interested in hearing what you guys are saying.
I have a question, since we're talking about amps real quick. What is your opinion of that $2,900 solid state, you know, 1200 watt, quote, near legal limit amplifier that MSJ sells? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I don't buy anything from MSJ.
Yeah, well, there is that. Okay, we'll just move right along. All right, anything else on this, Jim?
Nope, just wanted to let people know. It's a great little thing to interface with, very easy to do. And as I said, I've built now about 8 interfaces for various different people running the Collins and the Kenwood and the old Heath kits with the new modern transceiver, and had no problem at all. And of course, it's very small, compact, and you can kind of, you know, stick it anywhere. Back to that, K20.
Okay, very good. I'm in the process of scratching not one note, but now 2 notes out onto the contact group. One was Rich's idea, and the other one is yours, Jim. I think those are really, really solid solutions. I don't think either one of you are members of the Comtech group, but if you go to, if you just email comtechgroup@yahoogroups.com, you'll get a reject message that'll tell you how to sign up. That's the easiest way to do it. Comtechgroup, all one word, @yahoogroups.com. And, or you can shoot me an email, and I can take care of it as well. But we'd love to have you on the Comtech group. I think you guys would be very good. And I know a number of people on the net here are, and that's where you'll pick up some of these great little tips that, you know, on all sorts of things. It's not a club-based group. It's meant to extend and augment and cross-pollinate from groups both here in Northeastern New Jersey and also elsewhere. We have members from all over the country on the group as well. So feel free to join that group if you like. Alrighty, moving right along, I think our next question is AC2GI. Rich, did you have a different question, or did you double up on Randy's before K2BAR?
K2BAR, AC2GI. Yeah, Gordon, I have a different question. I recently got involved with JT65 for HF, and I was wondering if anybody on the net is familiar with the software, because for some reason I cannot right-click on the frequency fields and change them. I have to keep going back to the rig control menus to change bands and frequencies. Didn't know if anybody's got any experience with it. Back to that.
No, I didn't. I don't know about that problem. Has anyone played with JT65 recently? Okie dokie. I'm sorry there, Rich. I have played with JT65, but I must confess, it's been over a year.
Not a problem. I will, if I find a solution, I'll post it on the next TechNet. Back to that, AC2GI.
Gordon, double mute somebody.
Go ahead.
I could hear a weak heterodyne when you were talking before, Gordon, so maybe someone wanted to say something and double with you. K2EIR.
How are you imagining it?
Okay. Very good. All right. boy, I just saw a reorg announcement.
announcement in another part of my organization. Just, anyway. All those good people, all crippled and tied up, doing stupid things. Anyway, made the mistake of doing that. But, all right. Very good. Rich, I'm sorry.